National park officials say a climber has died of injuries sustained after falling during a climb of Denali. The climb fell about 1,100 feet Friday while on the west buttress route. Witnesses say the climber fell at about 16,200 feet while trying to recover a backpack that had started to slide downhill. A Park Service mountaineering patrol was behind the climber's three-person team at the time of the fall and called for a helicopter. The victim's body was flown to Talkeetna after rangers confirmed that the climber had died of injuries. The victim's identity has not been released pending notification of family members overseas. Friday's fatal fall is the first serious accident or incident during the 2012 mountaineering season. A celebration of life for a longtime Juneau resident and University of Alaska professor Chuck Craig will be held Wednesday. The 65-year-old Craig apparently went out in a 16-foot skiff on Thursday, and the unoccupied boat with the motor still running was found Thursday afternoon in Favorite Channel north of Tea Harbor. The Coast Guard searched with a 25-foot boat and an H-60 helicopter for over 5 hours before suspending the search Thursday evening. At least one Good Samaritan vessel assisted in that search. Craig was never found, and he's presumed to be missing at sea. Juneau Police Lieutenant Dave Campbell says Craig's driver's license was found in the skiff, but Campbell says they do not suspect foul play. Campbell says Craig worked as an instructor for the University of Alaska Southeast Diesel Marine Program. According to a short biography published on the UAS website, Craig is a tenured associate professor and head of the Diesel Technology Program, and he's worked in the diesel engine field for about 50 years. Craig was selected as the Professor of the Year for Alaska by the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching and the Council for Advancement and Support of Education. Once again, that celebration of life for Craig will be Wednesday. It'll be at 1 o'clock in the afternoon at Chapel by the Lake. Representative Don Young voted to increase the Pentagon spending on Friday. As APRN's Peter Granitz reports, the defense authorization is facing a veto from the president.
The budget-cutting hysteria that overtook Washington last summer is now gone. The bill that passed the House with bipartisan support comes in at $643 billion. That's $8 billion higher than the president and House Republicans agreed to last year. Included is money for a new missile defense shield on the East Coast. Fort Greely, which houses some of the nation's current missile defense system, is slated to receive about $200 million. Any spending, though, faces an uphill battle. Senate Democrats will likely move a smaller bill, one that looks like the president's. If it sounds like politics, it is. The bill is loaded with highly charged amendments, like reaffirming indefinite detention. And those political amendments could ultimately seal the bill's fate and leave it as nothing more than a political show. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.
British Columbia environmental officials say a permit for a road to the Tulsiqua Chief Mine will be delayed. Mine owners Chieftain Metals had hoped for the permit in time to start construction this summer. The proposed road would run south of Atlin in British Columbia through the Taku River First Nations territory. Until the road is built, the company will be barging equipment and supplies from Juneau up the Taku River to the mine. The old mine is located near the confluence of the Tulsiqua and Taku Rivers. The Tlingit group has historically been opposed to the road, and it appears an alternate route does not satisfy their main concerns. Chieftain Metals in February submitted its permit application to Canadian environmental assessment agencies. Vikas Stenko of the CBC was in Atlin last week and reports from meetings on the mine.
Owners of the old Tulsiqua Chief Mine fought nearly 20 years for permission to build a road. Now new owners, Chieftain Metals, are proposing a revised route that's supposed to alleviate First Nation concerns. It's a shorter route that steers clear of sensitive ecological and heritage sites. The company is promising round-the-clock access control and major economic development opportunities from the mine. But the Taku River Tlingit First Nation says it has not approved the road, and several outstanding issues stand in the way of a decision by clan leaders. A recent newsletter to citizens says several months of negotiations with Chieftain has failed to resolve those issues. Environmental review officials with the BC government say road construction plans for next month will have to be postponed, as a permitting decision this summer is now unlikely. Vic Oschenko, CBC News, Allen.
Haines is the latest community in Alaska to enter a lawsuit over redistricting. The Borough Assembly on Friday asked the Alaska Supreme Court to allow it to participate in the suit before the court. Multiple lawsuits against the Alaska Redistricting Board have been combined into a single case. The borough objects to the board's latest plan that lumps Haines and Skagway into a house district with Mendenhall Valley of Juneau. And the Haines borough has a population of about 2,600 people, while the Mendenhall Valley and the rest of the current House District 4 is nearly 16,000 people. At a special meeting Friday morning, the Haines Borough Assembly authorized its attorney to file its objection. Friday was the deadline for public comments and briefs on the redistricting board's latest plan for Southeast Alaska's political boundaries. The assembly said it was in the public interest of Haines residents to join the lawsuit. Assembly member Deborah Schnabel said the Haines socioeconomic profile is more in line with rural Alaska than with the suburban nature of the Mendenhall Valley.
We felt strongly that the concerns that the more rural community has, those issues with infrastructure development, fisheries issues, power, and solid waste management, those sorts of things that smaller rural communities are dealing with, would not be represented fairly if we were in a district with a majority suburban socioeconomic group.
The redistricting board's previous plan for Southeast had grouped Skagway with downtown Juneau. City officials had filed an objection to that proposal. While Skagway officials say they still support a plan that keeps rural communities together, Mayor Stan Selmer said the latest redistricting plan makes slightly more sense for Skagway because it includes all Upper Lynn Canal communities that are linked by the Alaska Marine Highway System, and Skagway would not be competing with downtown Juneau for cruise ship money. In a Skagway Assembly meeting Thursday night, Selmer said he was ambivalent to a point about being in a Mendenhall Valley district.
Up until this last week, you know, we were down meeting with Senator Egan and Representative Curtula, building our lines of communication. And now, potentially, under this new option A, we get to keep Senator Egan, but we have an opportunity to vote for Bill Thomas if we choose to, whereas before, we didn't even have the opportunity to vote for Bill.
The latest plan has Haines Representative Bill Thomas running against Juneau Representative Kathy Munoz. Native groups are also opposed to it. In its present configuration, Thomas's House District 5 is 36.6% Alaska Native. Both Haines and Skagway previously requested the Alaska Redistricting Board adopt political boundaries that would place Haines in a House district with a population of Alaska Native residents sufficient to qualify the district as a Southeast Alaska Native Minority Influence District for purposes of the Federal Voting Rights Act. In other news this morning, a 48-year-old Kenai man suspected of causing a fatal crash 2 years ago has been charged with second-degree murder. Alfred C. Jones was charged last week in the 2010 Memorial Day weekend death of 25-year-old Kathleen Benz, a Georgetown University student visiting the state for a wedding. Alaska State Troopers say Benz was in a car that was struck by a pickup truck driven by Jones on the Sterling Highway between Homer and Anchor Point. Troopers say Jones was traveling north and drifted over the center line. Three other cars dodged the pickup, but it hit a car driven by Daniel Fairchild and Carrion Benz. Troopers say Jones' blood tested positive for methamphetamine, oxycodone, cocaine, and marijuana.